Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Today on Faith and Freedom, we have the opportunity to speak to the founder of America's Frontline Doctors. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and our special guest is Dr. Simone Gold. She is a board-certified emergency medical physician and also a lawyer educated from Stanford University and the founder of America's Frontline Doctors. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. Gold.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Dr. Gold, one of the things that you and some of your colleagues that were in Washington, D.C., addressing a press conference, were addressing was the issue of hydroxychloroquine. And some of the people that were with you are in a lot of different areas of practice and specialization, as you are as well. And some of them, like yourself, have actually treated COVID-19 patients. Tell us about your experience in treating, or others in your organization, your group, the colleagues that you know, in treating COVID-19 patients, particularly with hydroxychloroquine or other protocols.
Most of us had treated patients with hydroxychloroquine. There were just a couple that didn't, who had different experience. Like, there was a child psychiatrist who was speaking about the fear and the effect on schools and children, and he didn't. But most of us have treated patients with hydroxychloroquine and zinc. The reason we're so passionate about it is we've had direct experience seeing how quickly it turns the situation around. You know, most things in medicine take a little bit of time. This medicine is practically a magic bullet. When it helps, which is virtually always when you give it early, it works very quickly. In my case, as an emergency physician, I would use it for patients who I'd be discharging from the ER. You know, they're not sick enough to require hospitalization. And within 20 to 40 hours, they were much improved. It's dramatic. And Dr. Emanuel has treated now over 500 patients. They've all done very well. Dr. Armstrong has a lot of nursing home patients. I believe none of them had died, or maybe one died. I don't remember. But that nursing home patient, such a vulnerable population. And they all did well. I mean, the numbers are astounding, and our numbers are typical of doctors who use hydroxychloroquine and zinc early.
It's got to be frustrating from a medical practitioner to actually firsthand see patients that you're treating with COVID-19 and you're using hydroxychloroquine and zinc combination, and you see dramatic improvement, and you're not able to share that. And you also see that there's not only censorship in social media, but in some states, amazingly, even after your press conference, the Ohio Pharmacy Board banned hydroxychloroquine. And fortunately, the governor reversed that within 24 hours.
You said a couple of things, so let me just go in order. It's not frustrating. It's so excruciatingly painful as a physician to have a medicine that you know works, and you're being told by the governor of your state that you can't give it because you yourself could be brought up on unprofessional charges, or unprofessional conduct, or the pharmacists are going to block you from giving it because they are empowering pharmacists who are essentially employees of a large corporation. It's so painful as a physician. It's a red line in the sand for most of us. And this is why we're so passionate about it. We're like martyrs at this point. We can't believe we're in a position like this. It's terrible. You have to wonder, as non-physicians listening to the show, you have to wonder why we're so aggressively standing our ground on this issue. It's because we know truth and we've seen it and we need to do it. Now, the Ohio Pharmacy Board, I think in relation to our coming forward, made a tremendous naked power grab. The pharmacists should be empowered over doctors. The pharmacists should know better. Not only is that bad for patients, pharmacists don't have the same knowledge we have. They also don't sit and talk and have a consultation with the patient. And they also tend to be employees of large corporations. That was disgraceful, disgraceful of the Ohio Pharmacy Board. Thank God the governor reversed it. But we're facing that in many states. And we're fighting for patients. We're fighting as hard as we can. The doctors in this group are just some of the most talented people I've ever met. Most of them have devoted extra donated time of their lives and years where they'll go to medical missions abroad to poor, underserved portions of the world. They do this to help people. That's who we are.
And that's what you've done. You've went to medical school to help people. You see in your practice how some of the wisdom that God has given you and the training you've received can actually make people well, can calm them, prevent them from getting sicker, can bring them back from the line of death. You dedicate, and many of your colleagues have, free time to go serve others around other impoverished places of the world. And all you want to do is give them a medication that you know works, and social media says no. Some big tech company like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, whatever it may be, Squarespace that had your website that censored it, says no. Now, that I know that I just can't even comprehend that. You know, we have talked about, and you have clearly talked about, one of the problems that we face is the loss of freedom of speech, a very critical crisis across the board. But what we're dealing with in what you're talking about is not just freedom to express an idea. It's life or death. What we're talking about is censoring life-saving opportunities that can ultimately transform a person's life and keep them from the grave.
The reason I came to Washington, D.C. was to put doctors in front of the American public. So I brought doctors that were amazing, and I brought social media influencers. That's what we did. So you saw the press conference, but you may yourself not even be aware that we did educational hours. We did hours and hours of it, and the information is mind-blowing. If you live in a country where chloroquine, which is the precursor to hydroxychloroquine, if you live in a country where chloroquine is widely used, your chance of death is a fraction of what it is in America. Sub-Saharan Africa, I can assure you they're not doing social distancing and they're not doing masks. They don't have hospitals with ventilators. All right? Why is their case fatality rate less than 1% of Western nations? Most people there are on chloroquine. Most visitors to that area are on chloroquine. This is like a crime against humanity, and you probably don't realize this is happening mainly in Western countries that are restricting access to this drug. It's a problem in the UK, the Netherlands, France, Belgium, America, Canada. It's terrible. It's over-the-counter in much of the world. And where it's over-the-counter, the death rates are lower.
Well, Suzanne, who works for me, was in the mission field for much of her life, and she had to take a chloroquine or some related drug to that every week because of malaria. And it was common practice, like you said, they could get it over the counter because it's been used as an anti-malarial drug as well. So it's been around for 65 years. It's very cheap, inexpensive. Why do you think we have this kind of censorship against hydrochloroquine, both from the private sector and even from some of the government sectors?
So I'm going to share something very disturbing with you and your listeners, and that is that, like everybody else, I thought that the problem that the media had with hydroxychloroquine was because the president seemed to favor it. That was on March 19th at the Coronavirus Task Force when he said, "I happen to feel good about it." Then the media just really said how terrible it was. So for 6 to 8 weeks, I believed, like everyone else, that that was the problem. Then they came out with a remdesivir study, which was modestly helpful to patients. It did not decrease mortality. It just kind of reduced length of stay a little bit. And the media gave it a free pass. And I remember thinking that was very strange. I had nothing against remdesivir. The more options, the better. But it was not a great option. It still doesn't look that great. It looks mildly helpful in some cases. So I thought that was so peculiar that they didn't, you know, give it a hard time, that I started investigating. And what I found, and I'm about to tell you, is going to shock you. So the president said it was pretty good on March 19th, right? Well, it turns out that chloroquine was over-the-counter in France, and it was removed from over-the-counter to list 2 poisonous substance requiring a prescription. It became restricted in France on January 13th, more than 2 months before the president said it at the Coronavirus Task Force meeting. Why did the country of France remove this benign drug that's sold in the vitamin sections across the world in the middle of a pandemic when we knew it probably was going to help? Why did they change its status 2 months before the president spoke of it? This was not predominantly about Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to pick that up tomorrow because I want to dive into more of that and some of the issues that you see with Big Pharma, some other kinds of protocols and treatment, and so much more about what we're experiencing and seeing with regards to COVID-19. Our guest has been Dr. Simone Gold. You can go to lcaction.org to sign our petition to stop the censorship on these social media platforms, and to learn more, lcaction.org. It's all right there on that page, including access to Dr. Simone Gold's website, America's Frontline Doctors, lcaction.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.